You are listening to your auntie's favorite DJ, DJ Treacy Treats.
What is going on, y'all? It is DJ Treacy Trees, and welcome back to What the Pod. We are in episode 3 now, so thank you for joining me once again. I've got a great show for you here today. For those of you that are new to the show, What the Pod is a podcast where I meet people on the internet, talk to them for 15 minutes, and then bring them on my podcast to talk about their podcast. All right, so we got two people here today, the ladies of the Renegade podcast. Please help me welcome to the show, Antra and Karen. Welcome, ladies.
Hi.
Was that a good enough like intro? Was that like
That was awesome. Fantastic.
And not on top. So it's
you put on Tron top just like I like her.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, so it. For the people listening at home, please introduce yourself. Let them know who you are and what you do.
So my name is Antra and I'm a registered nurse and I currently advocate for patients in the medical system. And I am co-owner of Renegade with Karen here. So, yay.
Yeah. And I, well, since nurse slash coach slash writer slash speaker slash mom slash whatever is what she slash, yeah, I'll just say I'm Karen DeMarco.
Yeah, you're like Jane of all trades, which I can appreciate, especially here again during International Women's History Month. So we're continuing the show, bringing some awesome ladies with awesome shows. So tell us a little bit about your podcast. How did you guys get started in podcasting? And give us a little bit about your show.
Started in podcasting is an understatement. I think we started because I love to listen to podcasts. I'm listening to like 20 hours of podcast audiobooks, you know, every week. And it came from an idea. So nurses, basically in a nutshell, and Antra, fill in my blanks, but to maintain your nursing license, you have to, most states require 30 education credits, you know, and it's like the most, everybody waits till the last minute because it's the most boring, as Antra says, poke your eyes out.
Sounds you know, like college.
Let's review insulin syringe needle gauges and the standard American diet food pyramid BS. And, you know, and it's just like you wait till the last minute, you cram it in, hold your nose, check the box and just do it. Well, I was listening to a podcast and it was on Joe Rogan and he was interviewing James Nestor and it was all about breathing and the history. And it was a great story and such great information that would not only enhance my life, would make me better at what I do as a nurse. And it gives me something to tell other people to help their lives. And like, why isn't this worth? I mean, like all the requirements for a continuing education, like why isn't a podcast worth, you know, an education credit? That's ridiculous. So that's kind of like what we decided to do. It was like, let's make it so, because it's not out there.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. It's, you said you listen to about 20 hours of podcast content. That is pretty bananas. So I'm going to put you on the spot here as well.
Yeah.
What's your number one podcast that you're listening to?
Well, right now it's it varies, but they're all like what's the one that you sent me that I'm addicted to now, Antra? Rogan. Give me a second.
Yeah, Rogan's a given. He's
I like Health Freedom for Humanity.
That's a good one. You should talk to those guys too. They're cool.
That's good, especially in the health industry. Because, I mean, the first episode was with a lady who was a dietitian, and she was talking about, like, healthy gut. So she was just giving, like, good stuff to not make your poop weird. So I think that a fair amount of my listeners are into health stuff at this point.
Poop is fascinating, really. I mean, that makes for a good podcast. But, you know, anything, like, between I'm such a geek, you know, if it's, like, something about health and cutting-edge integrative medicine, functional medicine, systems biology, all these really fancy terms that point to getting behind the root cause of illness. Like I'm on it. And then there's also like audiobooks like quantum physics and, you know, all that where we're fast. And I would say, I think I speak for Andra too, but we're both fascinated on where like the spiritual and the biological intersect.
Intersect. You know, so like, more of like the holistic
prove it
living.
To me.
Yeah. How amazing hair. So what kind of luck have you guys had with getting your podcast content integrated into just the nursing field in general? Like what topics are you talking about on your show?
Let's see. What have we started with some, we interviewed a older nurse who's been nursing for, you know, eons, and she talked about patient advocacy and really about medical error in our healthcare system and poor outcomes. And so that was really interesting. We've talked to a couple of nurses about wound care and lymphedema, which really like these podcasts are for anybody, but nurses in general, like I told a nurse friend of mine about the one on lymphedema and I just told her about it. And she's like, I need to listen to that podcast. Like I have to listen to that. And the fact that they can then get a credit for it, a continuing education credit, is just a bonus. So we had another guy who is a malpractice lawyer who suffered a medical error in the system, lost all of his limbs. We interviewed him.
I just like to also point out, you know, because those, the things that, the topics that Antra's talking about, sorry, Antra, I just.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Come back. We'll weave in and out.
Yeah, for sure. Just keep going.
The thing about the guest, the thing that's, and why it's called Our Renegade is because having guests who not just think outside the box, but there is no box. So they look at their topics in a way that nobody ever had. They're renegades in their field. So. And you think like Antra introduced me to the guest who talked about lymphedema. And like anybody listening to this is like, what is that? And why would that be interesting? And the first 6 minutes she told the story. So she's a nurse, owns her own company. She's passionate about lymphedema. And you're like, okay, snooze fest. Why would that be interesting? But in the first 6 minutes, she talked about the reason that she's so passionate about it is because her father had stomach cancer and his legs got so swollen because of the lymphedema that the night before he died, he grabbed the handle on a Lazy Boy chair, his legs collapsed down and his legs bust open.
And he died the next morning.
Whoa. Didn't even think that was like possible. So for the people who are listening to this, who aren't nurses, what is lymphedema really quick?
So lymphedema is a... Just at the very basic level, because she got into some very...
First grade. I mean, like first grade level. Break it down.
Yeah, listen to the podcast.
So basically, it's collection of fluid in your limbs, your arms, your legs. So if you have a bunch of lymph nodes removed in a surgical procedure for stomach cancer, then you're at high risk for lymphedema. So anybody who has surgery, which I was a surgery nurse my entire career when I worked in the clinical world, and not once did any surgeon say to their patients who were having abdominal surgery or surgery for breast cancer, your arms, and they take out gobs of lymph nodes, not once did they say, oh, and by the way, you could be at high risk for lymphedema. Never. So it's, you know, super good for the public to hear about because it will hopefully get people thinking about what are the risks when I go in for a medical procedure? What do I need to ask the doctors? But also just to up-level nurses and teach them stuff that, I mean, this gal called it the orphan disease of all diseases because nobody talks about it.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, there's tons of like Lifetime shows and TBS and all that do like scary, worst things that can happen to me. But I mean, a fair amount of people get surgical procedures. And like you said, I've never heard of it to even ask for it. So that's
and the
that
first,
right there.
The nurse that Antra mentioned, Karen Mercer, that we had on, who basically founded, I would say, people should have a patient advocate, an advocate in the medical system as often as they should have a legal advocate in the judicial system. You don't know the language. And most people don't know that our medical system in the United States is the third leading cause of death in this country. Medical is the third leading cause of death. So patient advocacy should be as prominent as like, you know, we're guaranteed if you cannot afford an attorney, one will be provided for you. Well, in the judicial system, in, you know, the risk is fine or freedom. Yeah. In the medical system, it's injury or death.
Yeah, which is way, mm-hmm. way high up there. Now that you're, I've never even thought about any of these things. And I've had a fair amount of like medical run-ins where they didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what was happening. And then, you know, how sometimes you go to the emergency room and mm-hmm. then they tell you a bunch of things and you're like, oh, I don't even really know what happened. But whatever my symptom was kind of went away and you don't follow up with different things. So,
You don't, and you don't even, I mean, think about it. You're probably, you don't feel good. Or if it's a true emergency, you're in no place to ask questions anyway. So, or you're scared, your family members all, are freaked out, whatever is going on in the emergency room, it wouldn't even occur probably to you to like really think about, oh, I went to the emergency room and I just got my blood drawn. Let me ask the nurse what the results are if I don't hear back in 10 minutes because it's a stat order since I'm in the emergency room. And what if there's something that's not right? And it just gets missed. That happens. But you wouldn't think to ask it. Yeah. So, that's the, like she said, injury or death. That's the consequence.
Yeah. And both Antra and I are private patient advocates. We've been through training that also we know about functional and integrative medicine, like so that people make fully informed decisions. You're not just getting one medical model. You're also getting information about what else is going on all over the globe that, your primary care doctor or your surgeon might not even know exists. So a part of the Renegade podcast is also to interview people that we like to learn from so that the general public and, nurses for a continuing education credit, but also to make it available, this information available to the general public. And it really will save lives. I mean, this lady with that, back to the lady with the lymphedema, I can think of thousands of people who, if they just heard that, they don't even know what it is. They don't know their mom has had these elephant trunk legs and is so, her quality of life sucks. And she's been like that for 10 years. But most people don't even know that somebody like this nurse that we interviewed exists. They don't know there's anything out there for their mom. Yeah. So we want people to,
build some awareness.
We want to share this for everyone.
For sure. All of this is awesome. So going back to the patient advocate that everyone should have, if I'm just anywhere in America, where can I go to look for this kind of service?
So I think that there's, it's Karen Mercereau. We kind of call her the sort of queen of patient advocacy, that she kind of way back when 20 years ago started her own business to advocate independently for people. So basically we are the patient's advocate. So they pay us directly. We don't work for insurance companies. We don't work for the hospital system. So there's no conflict of interest there. And so she then, as her career progressed, as her business got bigger, she decided that, every nurses that want to do this should be able to. So she built a school. And like Karen said, we went to her program. And I would say it's still blazing a trail. Like there are a lot of patient advocates in Arizona. There's quite a few in California, also in Florida, but like there are hardly any in the Midwest. So you can go to a couple of different sites. You can go to her site. You can go to the Greater National Advocates, and then you just pop in what you're looking for, and the advocates that are around your area will pop up if there are some there. So, or you can Google patient advocate, and that's what a lot of people do in my business. They find me because they put the words patient and advocate in Google.
Yeah.
And since me and my business partner are the only ones in town, we pop right up.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what, if you don't mind, tell everybody who's listening where you're located.
So I'm in Oregon, Portland, Oregon.
I'm in Los Angeles, California.
Whew, you're over on my side of town. We're all on the West Coast, though, so that's cool.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's definitely a growing field, and they're all over the United States. But there's a lot of advocates for different things. Of course, we're partial to RNs, but I just hired a insurance and billing advocate. And there's advocates that, they went through, two sick parents for decades, and they just really learned the system and they wanted to help other people. So they kind of put a shingle out on their door and said, you can hire me to help you navigate. So,
yeah. I have a question for the two of you individually, if you don't mind.
No.
Okay. So if I'm a nurse, to all the nurses who are listening, because there should be a fair amount, I know tons and tons of nurses, so I hope y'all are listening to the show. For all of them who are listening, if you could tell a nurse one thing that's currently practicing right now, like, what's one thing that you want them to know?
Go on, Tra.
I gotta think about it for a second. Hold
just,
on.
I mean, just because I know a bunch of nurses who are just got out of nursing school. They're just trying to start their career. One of my friends made a YouTube video talking about like a bunch of myths in nursing and just different things that she thought she would experience that she didn't. So just I'm just curious.
Kind of cultivating from my own life experience. I think the thing that has made me the best at what I do is that I'm independent of the good opinion of other people. So that's Abraham Maslow. I didn't say that. But he said self-actualization is being independent of the good opinion of other people. And your patients, I mean, nurses first and foremost have to be the patient's advocates, whether you work in a hospital or independently or wherever. And what really gets in the way is the hierarchy, you know, which doesn't really exist. We're all on the same team for the patient, right? But when a nurse won't speak up, or say, even if they might be wrong, but if they even, you know, think this doesn't seem safe or these medications, I don't, you know, they interact or, you have to be independent of the good opinion of the doctors, sometimes even the patient's family, you know, if that's best for the patient and speak your truth, whether you're wrong or right. Yeah. But not, muzzle yourself because you're afraid, you know.
Come on, speak your truth. Yes. I love that. Don't shrink to fit with the situation that you're in. I love that message.
Yeah.
And you see it all the time in healthcare. I mean, in an operating room, people are terrified of surgeons. So if they see something amiss and they think that the surgeon's going to throw an instrument across the room, if they bring it up, they won't bring it up. And then, you know, that's how we get bad outcomes. So it happens all the time. And there's been so much research done about the effectiveness of teams and how people work, you know, well together. And that's been a major push in healthcare, is to speak up and not be afraid, regardless of what the consequences are. And, you know, as a new nurse, I think that's hard. I mean, I used to, when I was brand new, I'll never forget, I had a patient who had a big abdominal incision, who had had a major surgery. And the doctor on the night shift said, "Do not call me unless she is bleeding out the door." Now, I'm brand new. I don't know squat about surgery. I don't know squat about abdominal incisions. And, you know, the patient did fairly okay, except that her abdominal incision was starting to come apart, but she wasn't bleeding. And I was like, I think that this is a problem. She's not bleeding. I mean, he was serious. He was like, I don't want to know unless she's bleeding out the door. And I was like, oh my gosh, this sucks. Like, I was terrified to call him. And I was like, yeah, so she's not bleeding out the door, but like her intestines are basically coming out of her incision site. Does that count?
and I'm assuming that the doctor came.
Yes, but again, like, you know, it's the middle of the night. They're grumpy. They don't like to be woken up. I mean, that's not everybody, but in this particular instance, it was. And but again, like, that's why I think I'm so passionate about patient advocacy, because while I did tend to kind of, I kind of picked the OR because I knew there was a team there in case shit went south. But I also was very much like, if you violated the sterile field and touched something you weren't supposed to, I was always on it. Like, I was always speaking up regardless of the situation. And I have been so chewed out that I have bawled my eyes out in the utility closet on more than one occasion. I've been told, like, I've seen surgeons storm down the hall. There's no crying in orthopedics, Andra, because I'm just blown. It was terrible. Yeah. But I always spoke up because
of what, and that matters. That I want to be at your hospital. Too. Yeah, I want to be at the hospital that you're at, fighting for me. That's right.
Well, that's true for you too. I mean, it's true for everybody who has to be a patient in the healthcare system to speak up if something seems wrong. You know, remember, they're your employees. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. Don't, you know, dog with a bone. That's what I call Antra, because now when she works for her patients, she's like, dog with a bone.
Yeah.
But what we're doing with the podcast too, is it okay if I just segue into this?
Think, yeah.
You made me think of it.
Hold on really quick. Can you hold that point? Because I just want to tell you what I would say to to piggyback on Karen's point about what would you tell new nurses, I would tell new nurses to encourage their patients to engage in their care, to ask questions and to be curious and to speak up when they think something isn't right, because that's huge. No nurse can be a mind reader. So if, you know, your IV is in and it starts to swell and it looks weird, well, you say something because you're going to get better care if you engage.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a major key right there. Both of them. Good things. You go ahead, Karen.
Awesome. Well, kind of on that same point, you know, the podcast is going to have experts that think outside the box and who are renegades. But another kind of themed thing we're going to do, we think we're going to call it Revelations from the Station, which is the same podcast, but just like maybe every Thursday we do like a Facebook Live or something. And we're going to have nurses come on and tell their horror stories that they've seen, things that go wrong in the hospital. I mean, but also horror stories and also funny things, like, you know, things that shoot out of people's butts when they're relaxed. Anja's seen a lot of that.
More poop.
and let me just tell you, for
not
the
necessarily
record,
poop.
Not just poop. Cucumbers, shampoo bottles, and they always slip in the shower. Just saying.
No, I'm so terrified to fall in the shower. Like, always, like, taking it really slow, because what a way for the paramedics to come pick you up off the ground.
Yeah, but that's not true when you have a cucumber up your butt. You didn't fall in the shower.
And it's like, I don't know how the cucumber got there, but it seems like a really sticky situation. Where
it was
just
in the mini fridge. It's also at my butt.
Oh, my goodness.
It's always the answer when somebody comes into the ED with something up there. It's like, I slept in the shower. I'm like, what? No, you didn't.
How did that happen? Yeah, you're just making it up. Yeah.
Yeah, so Revelations from the Station will be things that went wrong or things that went awry and maybe some funny things. But then afterward, we're not going to stop there. We're going to tell people what could have been done to prevent that.
Got it.
So,
got
it. You know.
That's awesome. So definitely tune into their podcast for that. In the spirit of International Women's History Month, I do want to ask you, what do you think about the nursing field and women? Do you think that there is a bias toward women there? Is there opportunity to grow? Now, nurses, people primarily think of as women, but I know a fair amount of men nurses. So just give me your perspective about the experience of being a woman nurse in the healthcare system.
I would say that for me, I mean, working in the surgery suite my whole life, very male dominated. So, I mean, even male nurses tend to go there. So oftentimes I'd find myself in a room with a orthopedic male surgeon, everybody was male except me. I learned a lot about football. I mean, I didn't know much before I had that room, and now I know tons about football. But I would say that, you know, historically women have been nurses, right? So we've kind of blazed that trail. But it's nurses can be, women nurses especially, cannot be so nice to each other. And I think that there's a lot of room for better collaboration, better teamwork, better older nurses supporting younger nurses. I mean, you get the old, what we call battle axe nurses who never want to help the newbies, and the newbies are terrified. And, you know, you throw them into a med-surg floor where they've got six patients and they don't, you know the first thing about taking care of even one patient, really like proctoring and helping the younger nurses would go a long way, I think, in making our profession better.
Awesome. That is a good thing to talk about. Sisterhood. On the episode prior, we talked about sisterhood in different verticals there. Karen, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a little tough.
Their technical word for that is lateral workplace violence. It's kind of rampant. But I would say a woman, like my mom used to joke that she had four boys and I was the only one who grew boobs. So I've always kind of had a different, you know, kind of just like a not the same kind, you know. I think it's just so individual, you know. I can't really say my experience as a woman, my experience in nursing has been as Karen, you know. And I've worked with men and women, and you know, I've worked trauma and ICU and flight nursing. A lot of those things men tend to gravitate to, so I didn't have that cattiness as much because there was a nice mix of testosterone in there.
Yep.
Yeah, but women can do anything. You know, we look at us. I mean, like I was in hospitals for 20 years, you know, and I never let, and I think it goes back to what I originally said, is just like, I had a healthy, I don't care what people think of me, you know, like, and I think that really kind of safeguards you against that cattiness and against, you know, people smell confidence off of you or smell like, and if that those people don't like you or they peel off, well, God, what a relief. You don't have to deal with them at all. You can bring that energy back home. Yeah. But nurse entrepreneurialism, you know, where entrepreneurialism was a very male dominated thing up till, you know, a couple of years ago. And now it's like nurses, you know, what are you uniquely qualified to, what skill do you have that's, you know, a service to medicine, to the community, to people. And nurses have such unique qualifications and unique interests. So this nurse entrepreneur field, that they spit themselves out of the medical system and try to make, you know, influence change from the outside of it is really, you know, it's great to be a woman in nursing right now. There's just so many avenues,
yeah,
you know, for success. Yeah.
So awesome, especially at a time like this where the healthcare system is like really important to this, like our livelihood, you know, in the country at this point. There are tons of traveling nurses on my floor. I live in a building right downtown, so they're just coming into town to help out, you know, with COVID. How has your industry changed a little bit because of COVID? Have you guys in the, I hate to say guys because we're talking to two women. Have you two seen a boom in business, or have you just been strategizing and doing your podcast and kind of taking a back seat during this time?
I think Entre has, haven't you?
Yeah. I have another nurse business partner, and it's picked up a lot. And a lot of what we're doing is mostly, you know, care coordination and telehealth stuff because we can't always go into the hospital or be with our patients. So yeah, it's been definitely busier for sure. And you know why? Because people are overwhelmed and frustrated, and they're not getting the care they need. I mean, the focus has been so much on COVID. I got a call from a patient in late August who'd been diagnosed in early May with a stage 4 cancer and called me in tears because he still hadn't gotten any care. And so they call because they're like, I don't know what else to do. Like, I just Googled patient and advocate and you came up, and I had him in treatment a week later. Like, how is that possible?
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I think too, cause I moved to the West Coast during the COVID time after I had COVID actually. And my doctor, who was my primary care physician, he left the network like 12 days after I got COVID. So I got no care after, or no, like there was no follow up. I do think that there are some cracks here and things are just getting slipping. And that breaks my heart that people aren't getting the care that they need just on regular things that aren't COVID related.
Right. Yeah, and that's a great point because once, you know, another thing that we do as patient advocates and as now podcasters is tell people, you know, there's not going to be great change until people know the standard of care that they deserve. Like that guy that Entre just talked about, he didn't know the standard of care that he deserves to be given. Yeah. He didn't know he could pick up a phone and demand things. Now, luckily he had Entre who could, you know, organize that. But when people are educated and they know then, and they know that they can demand better, that's when, from a grassroots level, that real change is going to happen. But in the meantime, call a patient advocate and they'll teach you what you don't know, you know, and how to ask questions that you don't even know how to ask.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because the same patient was like the very first appointment that I actually got to attend with him because he was a stage 4 cancer patient. They let one other person go in for all of his consultations, and he sat there so silent, and he wasn't going to ask any questions. He was just going to do exactly what the doctor ordered because that's how we're conditioned to be in the medical system. And so he watched me, and over the last 6 months, you should see him now in a doctor's office. He's like, shut up, Entre, because I got another question to ask. Like, they can teach people how to engage in their care. And it's so cool to see somebody like that who was all about the doctor knows best. I just do what the doctor says. And now he's, you know, really like looking at what are my options? Could I be in a clinical trial? I mean, he is taking charge of his own healthcare. And, you know, to Karen's point, that's when healthcare is going to change, when they say, no, I don't want this, I want that. Yeah. And I want that because I know that that's available to me.
Yeah. I'm going to find a primary care physician this week. I'm just like, it's my health and I need it now. Just from this pep talk that we've had, you know, just being in charge of, because you do things. I wait until something breaks. You know, I'm like, my arm is kind of sore. I've just been babying it. And then all of a sudden it's like, crap, now my fingers are tingling. I think I did some damage. Like, you know, people wait because they think it's going to get better or whatever. And you really need to be engaged in your health on that.
Yep. That's absolutely awesome. Yeah. All right. I mean, the other thing I would say really quickly is that a lot of what I do with my clients is I really encourage them to follow their sense about what to do. Because like when you say, oh, well, my arm hurts and I should probably go see a doctor. Well, you're really going to know if you need to go to the doctor or not. And people don't trust their own sense of what to do. And so when I spend time with clients, it's like, listen, you got to follow your intuition. Like if this isn't an emergency, like I had a client call me because she was worried about COVID and she was worried about her kids. And I'm like, well, they had runny noses and they were, you know, they had flu-like symptoms. She's like, do I need to bring him into the doctors? And I was like, well, you're a mama bear. What's your sense about what to do? She's like, well, my kids have been, you know, they've been sick like this before. And one time, you know, my littlest one was so dehydrated and he was lethargic and I took him in. And I was like, see, you knew what to do. And yeah. She's like, they're not like that right now. I'm like, okay, then follow your sense about what to do. And so I think that's also really important because we oftentimes get told what to do and how to, you know, how to navigate the system when maybe that's not true.
Yeah. Sometimes engaging in your health means not going to see a doctor.
Mm-hmm. And maybe working out or drinking water or like sleeping regularly. But I do have a story that's know what to do for you. So I got the flu in February. So I went to the doctor and I had been following coronavirus like way before. So this is like the beginning of February before the United States got shut down and we knew it was crazy, right? So I went to the doctor and I'm like, dang, I got the flu. Like I'm sick. I feel like I felt sicker than I had ever felt in my adult life. So I went and I'm like, please test me for the flu. So I had a physician's assistant. She was like, no, we're not going to test you for the flu. The CDC right now is just saying everybody is getting Tamiflu. So we're just going to give you Tamiflu and we'll see how it goes. Right. So I'm like, all right, that seems weird, but I'm sick. My wife went with me. We demanded a flu test then. She's like, no, don't worry about it. You probably have it, blah, blah, blah. So I completely let it go through my system. I was sick for probably about 3 weeks. And then after I was done, I started coughing up blood because I was still coughing. So I went to the doctor and they were like, oh, you ripped a little thing in your esophagus just from coughing. It's just like this. You just got blood in your phlegm. It'll go away. So drink water. Like at this point, my mom's a preacher. I'm like, mom, pray for me. I could be dying. Like this is, I felt awful. So got over the flu then. My wife didn't get sick or nothing. So in October of the same year, so that was February 2020. October 2020, I DJ'd a wedding and I got COVID. Like I woke up the next morning and I felt a little bit sick, but I was like, let me take some emergency. But like 2 days later, I woke up out of my sleep and was like, I have COVID. I got to go get tested in the morning. I got tested that morning and I had COVID. I was like, I knew I had COVID in February because it was the same feeling inside my body. Like I'm super present. I meditate. I don't eat like complete trash. Like I'm 31. So, you know, give me a little leniency there, but I'm not a complete like vagabond, just living my life, doing this thing. So I knew I had COVID that morning. And then I did give it to my wife that time. Just because I had been exposed. So I felt like there was a small invader in my body. I should have went that first time and demanded that level of care because I was down for a month where I didn't even. Well, I guess there was no like test for COVID or anything at that point. So they might not even know. But I knew I was sick as hell.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing of following your sense. I mean, I'm not recommending people don't go to the doctor. I'm recommending like if you think you need to go to the doctor, you should go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, far for somebody else to tell you what to do. You're the only one that knows you, right? Like really knows you.
Yeah.
So,
right. Oh, all right. So I got a final question for you. And it's based on your podcast name. So what makes you a renegade in your field? What's one thing that makes, you both individually renegades?
We're frail. That makes us a renegade. Do you know what frail is?
No.
Can I we made the word up.
Come on, tell us.
We made a word up.
Tell us the word.
Can we swear? on your podcast?
Oh, yeah, for sure. This is not on LinkedIn or anything.
So we were talking. I was actually taking a bath. A lot of times I'm on the phone in the bathtub when I'm talking to Karen, and we were having some long discussion about, you know, any number of rabbit holes we like to go down. And I was like, oh, and by the way, I hate the word authentic. So cheesy. Like, who uses that word anymore?
It's so inauthentic, that word authentic.
Oh, yeah, I hate it. And she was like, I don't really like it that much either. We need a new word. So we came up with freel, which is fucking plus real equals freel.
That's right.
You just want to be around fucking real people.
Yeah.
Hey, for real.
And that's what makes Renegade Podcast so great, is it's freel. Like, there's no fluff. I actually invited somebody that I kind of was like, in my head, like, ooh, I don't know if he's going to want to be on this. And I told him, like, listen, we're noobs. Like, we're just starting out. And it's as freel can be. And he was like, I'm down. And I was like,
you know, that's kind of how our conversation went. Yeah, I was like, you just started. Who cares? Let's do it.
Yeah. We are unpolished. No polish, no lipstick on a pile of shit here. It's just like, we'll expose our pile of shit. And you could see it all. And it's funny that way too, you know, which it's not just real. It's not not just entertaining and enlightening. It's funny because we're just very human.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think in this world, we're missing that with Instagram filters and all that.
Yeah.
It's creative, and it's going out on a branch and starting a business that we have no idea where it's going to go, but we're excited about creating stuff. And it's like a tree that's going to grow all these branches, and who knows where we're going to end up. I mean, we're thinking empire, which is totally good by me, but you never know what's going to happen with the tree, right? Like, it's just,
I can't wait.
And at the very least, I always say, like, people will get one of two things out of listening to me or seeing me do this. It's number one, I'll be like, oh, thank God she's human too. Or, you know, thank God I'm not her. You know, but either way, you'll have a good feeling coming away from it.
There will be a revelation.
That's right. There will be a revelation.
Awesome.
Right.
Well, listen, I'd come to that TED Talk any day of the week. Thank you both so much for joining me on the show today. And one last time, where can people find your podcast? I'm sorry. It'll be in the description, but just tell them really quick for the people who are listening in the cars.
Okay, I'll let Antra do it.
No, you do it.
Well, it'll be on, you know, it's coming. We've got our first 10 done, you know, done, and they're being edited and stuff like that. So you can't listen to it quite yet, but we're launching it. We're hoping it for end of April. Okay. But Renegade, R-N-A-G-A-D-E, you know, it's like Renegade without the E in the middle of the R and the N, renegade.pro. So it'll be there. And then everything that on your intro I saw where you can find you, I'm just going to copy that.
Okay.
And
cool.
Because I have no idea. So we're just going to copy that. And that's where you can find us too.
Yeah.
You
all can send me an email and I'll definitely help you out with just getting them to those places, because I just hit one button and it just goes to all those places. So.
Oh,
okay. Awesome.
Yay. Love that.
Yeah. All right. Thank y'all for coming on. I'm going to take y'all out of here. Thank y'all so much for listening to episode 3 of What the Pod. Please like, subscribe, do all those things. Turn on the bell, whatever platform you're looking at this. Follow me, subscribe, do whatever. Just make sure you love on me. Also, in the link in the description, you'll see my Patreon link. If you want to support this podcast, it's only $5 a month. Period. That's it. You'll get all the backstage kind of stuff. And then I maybe will be releasing the interviews prior for my podcast subscribers. Again, this is DJ Treacy Treese with What the Pod. And thank y'all for listening.